So 2 weeks ago, I was here, and I handed out a Bible study that I had spent the last few years putting together. And if anyone wasn't here, you weren't here. I got one for you. I got a few copies left. So if you like one of those, if you weren't here last week, 2 weeks ago, it's a Bible study that goes through the New Testament. I spent like 3 years on it, and the Lord really helped me with that. And I think if you get your hands on it, it'll be good for you. I reckon it'll be helpful. So I'll hand those out later. Also, when I was here last time, I preached on Deny Self from Mark. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was pretty tired that day. And I don't know if you know what it's like preaching when you're tired, but it's not very fun. It's not very good. And so I was able to like have one thought, but no follow-up as I was preaching. And because I was so sleep-deprived, I just didn't get a good sleep the night before or a few nights prior. A lot of my message that I wanted to share, I just didn't share, like 70% of it. And as I was seeking the Lord, asking, you know, what should we talk about this Sunday, it just kept coming back to those things that I didn't mention. And usually I wouldn't do that. I don't feel the need to go back and fix a message. I mean, I prayed about it and beforehand 2 weeks ago, and I know that the Lord is totally able and will use that message that I spoke even while sleep deprived. But he has placed it on my heart, and so I'm going to go back to that scripture and just talk about three or four things that I really wanted to share. So we're actually going to read the same scripture, but from the Gospel of Luke, which is going to be in chapter 9, if you would like to go there. And as always, my preaching is, it's not at you. This is just what I'm going through at the moment in my life. I'm going to share this as if you're not even in the room. I feel like I'm just talking to myself. This whole denying self, and it's what the Lord is really placing on my heart at the moment. And I'm just going to share the stuff that I've been thinking about and learning about. So if you're in Luke chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 23. And I want to go through all the verse to verse 27. And then I'll go through it bit by bit. So here it is. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." Okay, so there's the scripture, and now I'm just going to work through it bit by bit. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is the very first two words where it says, "if anyone." If anyone. He's talking to everyone and anyone. If you're someone, then he's talking to you. If anyone. So this is an invitation for us. And I remember when I first started reading the Bible and I started seeking God, this kind of stuff here, where it was an invitation to me, I just simply could not believe it. As in, I really wrestled with it and I really struggled with it. That Jesus Christ would stretch out his hand and make an invitation to me to come follow him. That just did not, I couldn't agree with that, right? The way I would read it is, "if anyone except Alex," as if that was written into the scripture. You see, I felt so undeserving of this invitation that I couldn't even accept it. I thought, no way. You cannot be offering this to me. You cannot be offering me and my life and my history and my mistakes. I mean, I'm not the kind of person you want following you around. I'm a mess. I am unqualified. I am untrained. I'm all these things. And if I'm being completely honest, I still feel that way a lot of the time. I cannot stress to you how unqualified I feel to be up here sharing God's word. And I remember, I'm not exaggerating when I say this was a really big deal for me. I would have big arguments with God about Him calling me and asking me to follow Him. And like as if you're having an argument with a real person in my living room. I live by myself at the time, and I would be in the kitchen arguing with it, and then I'd go into the living room, and I would just be like, no way, I can't do it. I'm unqualified. I've got this history of sin. You're wrong. You can't work through me. You've made a mistake. And like serious arguments, long arguments. And the reason why I felt so unqualified is I hadn't quite had a revelation of mercy and grace, because there's this thing called the blood of Jesus, and that is what qualifies you to accept this invitation. So what has Jesus done? Well, if I can share the gospel with you for a little bit, Jesus came into this world when we were all broken, we're all lost, we're all unqualified, we're all uneducated, none of us were spiritual, and He came into the earth and He walked along our broken streets. He sat at our dinner tables, and He went to church with us, and he just did life with us. And then, being this perfect man, without sin, without blemish, never done anything wrong, completely submitted to God in all that He did, He looked at the brokenness around Him, and He put His hand up, and He took the blame for all of it. And He took our sin to the cross. And as He died on that cross, His blood poured out, and it's been poured out on all of us who have called on His name. And through the blood of Jesus, we have been made whiter than snow. There's no blemish, no stain, no wrinkle. We stand before Him holy and blameless, children of God. And He put the Spirit inside of us. It's called the Spirit of Sonship in Galatians. That's what Paul says it. He also says in the book of Acts, that in Him we move and have our being, and that we are His offspring. And by His Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. It says in Colossians that He has qualified us, taken us from the place of darkness into the kingdom of the Son He loves. And it's because of these things that we are qualified, that we are able to answer yes to this invitation. And it's not because of anything else. It is completely His mercy, it is His grace, it is His favor, and it is His will. And when I started to understand that, I was like, okay, no worries, I accept, I'll start following You. And, you know, there were still lots of lessons about using His strength and not my own, using His wisdom and not my own. But He has called us to follow Him. And everything, this is just a rule that you can write down and just let this be a rule for your life. Anything that God asks you to do, He also provides the power, the wisdom, the love, the mercy, the resources, everything needed for you to do what God's asked you to do, He will provide Himself. You don't have to worry about being educated. You don't have to worry about being wise. He will provide the wisdom. He will provide the resources. So you can actually go to God and ask God the things that you need. And because He's asked you to do it, it's because it's the will of God, He will provide it for you. It says in Scripture that no flesh will glory in My presence. He provides all the resources, He provides the Spirit, and as you obey, He gets all the glory. So that's the main thing that I wanted to start this Scripture with, is that this is for all of us. Your history and your mistakes and your background, your qualifications are all irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Doesn't seem to bother God. In fact, it kind of seems like he actually enjoys taking those who are uneducated and using them for His glory. He did that with Paul, who was hunting down sinners, this man that was going against the church. He used that guy. He says that I was the worst of sinners. And in that, God's making a statement. So actually, the more unqualified you are, the better off you might be. Although we're actually all equally unqualified, so that doesn't really work. All right, so moving on. If anyone, which is you, right, desires, that's the next part, is desires. If any of you desires, if any of you wants to, that's all that's required in your heart, is that you would want it. If you want to, if you have seen Jesus Christ, if you've heard the message and you go, I want that, then that's for you. But if you don't have the desire in your heart to seek the Lord, well, then you're not going to pursue him. It's kind of simple, actually. The desire part is there. And, you know, there's been times when I haven't wanted God. There's been long periods of time when I have not wanted God, even as someone who's experienced all the things that I've experienced. And sometimes it takes a little bit of effort, a bit of work, a bit of pressing in to get that desire going. I remember I it sounds ridiculous to me because I love the Word of God, but there was like a couple of months where I had no appetite for Scripture. Like it was like eating gravel. You know what I mean? Like there's just times when the Word of God is unappetizing and I had no desire. No desire for God, no desire for His will, no desire for anything. And in that, I decided that I was going to read Psalms 119 every day until the desire came back. You look excited. You like that chapter? It's a good one, isn't it? It's about the Word of God, that one. And I would read it every day and get that desire going. And you can tell God, Father, I have no desire for you whatsoever. And I ask that in your mercy, you would change my heart and give me a hunger for you. Sometimes you've got to ask for those kind of things and seek the Lord. If the desire is not there, get it. Get the desire. Because it's really, really, really important that you want him. And if you don't want him, be real about that. Go to him. He already knows. He knows everything. He already knows your heart. Yeah. All right. So for you, if anyone, which is you, desires, which might be you, might not be you, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now this scripture is very well known. It's one of the classics. And it's been preached about a lot. And I think, in my opinion, it's been preached about in the wrong way a lot of the time. Sometimes just in a lack of understanding. I've heard this scripture preached on as some real dreadful thing that is really sad and depressing and not good. All right, deny self. Oh, don't want to do that. Why would I want to do that? That sounds horrible. Sounds boring. Sounds like just a life that is without any flavor or excitement. And I do not believe that at all, is what this scripture is saying. This invitation for you to deny yourself is the best invitation that you could ever possibly receive. So let's talk about self. What self is God talking about here? Well, this language is actually very common in the New Testament. You hear about it in many different ways. Probably my favorite is from Ephesians chapter 4. Where it talks about taking off the old man, being renewed in your mind, and being clothed with Christ in true righteousness and holiness. It talks about it in Romans 6, about baptism, dying to yourself, being reborn, to be like Christ Jesus, to having a spirit living you. It's in Galatians where it talks about being baptized, being clothed with Christ. It talks about it in Colossians. It's just everywhere. This whole idea in Peter as well, where it talks about participating in the divine nature of God. You see, to deny yourself is to get rid of the old you so that you can take hold of the new you. It's like there's left and then there's right. If you're going to go right, you have to walk right. And if you're walking right, well, this is your left. If you're going to walk left, you have to stop walking right. You can't walk in both directions. It's just that same concept that if you're going to follow Jesus, then you've got to stop following you because you just can't do both at the same time. And I don't know where what you've heard, but it's like you actually deep down want to get rid of you. You want to deny yourself. You do. It's never done anything good. Nothing ever in my life, no good has come out for me living for me. And it's the key to the scripture is seeing love and selfishness. Because without Christ, all we have is selfishness. That is our lives. He is the love of God, and the love of God has been poured out through His Holy Spirit. And if we haven't got the love of God in our hearts, the only person we care about is ourselves. And Galatians talks about the fruit of the flesh. And all those fruits, which is like, oh, should we read it? Let's go there. Galatians chapter 5. So it says here in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're going this way, which is the Spirit, because you're going this way, you're by default not going this way. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you are not to do the things you wish to do. So it's that same language, it's the same thing. We're denying ourselves so that we can live for God. I'm going to read verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. Now all of these things, they come from a heart that is selfish. It's you living for you, and out of that heart comes these fruit, and these things are all fruit. And the thing that I have learned that has really helped me and changed the way that I approach the Bible and go about my business is that I don't think about the fruit. If I see fruit, all that is to me is an indication of what's going down in my heart. And I don't try and address the fruit, I just go for the heart. Because if I'm living in selfishness and there's all these fruits coming out of my life, it's because my heart has turned and it's focused on me again. And I've seen that play out in my life. It says a good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. Now, what is the tree? It could be faith or it could be love. I think it's both. So out of a selfish heart flows these things. Idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy. Jealousy is so bad. It's so bad. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, murders, the likes. All these bad things coming out of a selfish heart. So when he's saying deny yourself, this is the self that he is talking about. He's saying get rid of the old sinful nature. And that's so important that Jesus would say that is because none of these things, none of selfishness has any place in the kingdom of God. It has no place whatsoever. It doesn't fit in the design at all. So if we're going to live in the kingdom of God, we've got to get rid of the thing that's contrary to the kingdom of God. And see, this is what life looks like when you deny yourself. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So if you've heard a message and denying self sounds like this loomy, gloomy thing, here's verse 22 where it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'm about to read out a list here. All these fruits come from if you deny yourself. So this is what your life looks like if you deny yourself, deny the sinful nature, right? Joy. I've experienced that. Where it's just like joy in the Lord, joy in love, joy in His Word, joy with other believers. Living free from darkness is a really fun thing to do. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that we get as we take on the nature of Jesus Christ. But you can only be living in the nature of Jesus Christ if you've denied the self and got rid of the self. So this invitation to deny yourself is amazing. It's not loomy or gloomy. It's filled with life and peace. It talks about denying himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And it has to be a daily decision, because the invitation to go back and live for yourself is always there. And we have to stay in a place of love. We have to stay in a place of laying down our lives and living on the altar. That's the part where it gets hard. You know, 'cause there are times when I don't want to do that. Recently, man, I've been seeing the altar right in front of me and God saying, get down and lay on it and stop living for you. And instead of laying down on it, I just walk around it and look at it and go, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I don't want to deny my life. I want to live for me. And it's been hard. It's not hard, but it is hard. You know, it's the most obvious decision ever. It's the best thing that could happen to you is that you would get rid of selfishness and live in love. It's obvious that you would choose that. But even though it's so obvious, I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get rid of me, because my life is precious to me. I treasure this thing. And there's also, it's a false sense of control. There's a false sense of freedom. We think that if we don't deny ourselves, we're somehow free. But that's not true. You're a slave to the one you obey. If you hang on to your life, you will be a slave to sin, and it will be death and destruction that follow. It's really just like that. But somehow my heart still wants to hang on. For whoever desires, so I'm reading verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You have to die to live. If you want the life of Jesus, you've got to get rid of the life of you. Yeah. For what profit is it to man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Now that's a really interesting scripture. What profit is it if you hang on to yourself and you gain the whole world but lose your very self? Because when you hang on to your life, you're hanging on to the world. Now, what is the world? Well, there's a few scriptures on the world, and it's an interesting thing. Jesus said he, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So God loves the world. But then you read in 1 John where it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Do not love the pride of life or the lust of the flesh or the lust of this, this, and this. For anyone who loves the world has made themselves an enemy of God. So what is the world? I don't really have a good answer, if I'm being honest. What I think it is the world where man is pretending to be God. It's the place where we get to make the rules and we get to live separate from God and we kind of call the shots. Yeah. Have you guys read what's going to happen to the world? Have you guys read Revelation? Yeah. Yeah. It says that, and he himself destroyed or lost. The world is going to be destroyed. And I want to read that in Peter real quick from Peter chapter 2. And it's thinking about these kind of things that helps us make a decision not to live in the world. Once we see the final, place it's going. So I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And this is what's going to happen to the world. And I think we should listen to it because it might help us to make some good decisions. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening and coming of the day of God, because of which heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So that was the question by Peter. You know, since the world's going to burn up, and we know that in Scripture, that God has written it, and you can read about that in the book of Revelation, the world is not going to last. It's all going to be destroyed. And if we know that, what type of people ought we be? Should we live for the world and build up treasures for ourselves here, where thieves and vermin are going to come in and take over and steal? Should we build our lives here and make this our home, knowing that it's going to be destroyed? You know, Peter talks about being a foreigner on this world, on this earth, as living as people who belong to a different kingdom and a different world. You know, Paul also talks about this, saying that I have died to the world and the world has died to me, that I live here as a foreigner, that this is not the place that I belong. You know, Jesus talked about before his sermon that blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are unsatisfied, those who are hunger, who are looking at the world and not satisfied. Blessed are you who look at the world and not happy with what's presented. Because here's this other kingdom in which you will be satisfied, in which you will be rich. We've got to see the world clearly. It has absolutely nothing to offer you whatsoever. Only pain and destruction. What does God have to offer you? Let's think about that for a moment. Because that, you know that song that says he gives and takes away? I hate that song. But let's think about that for a moment. What does God give and what does he take away? Actually, before that, let's think about what sin gives and what it takes away. What does sin give us? A moment of gratification. A moment of feeling good about ourselves in our flesh. But what does it take? It takes our dignity, takes our confidence, destroys relationships. I'm just listing things in my own life. Sin destroys relationships. Selfishness destroys relationships. It breaks communion with God. Guilt, shame, and condemnation. Unbelief. Hardening of heart. These are all things that come by sin. That's what comes. But what comes by Jesus? What does he take away? He takes away our sin. He takes away hopelessness. He takes away loneliness. He takes away depression. He takes away lies about your value. He takes away darkness in your mind. He takes away bad habits. He takes away selfishness. And what does he give? He gives the blood of Jesus that makes you whiter than snow. He gives you the Holy Spirit so that you can have communion and relationship with the Father. He gives you eternal life. I mean, we've got to actually sit down and think about what's being offered here and realize this is the best thing ever. He gives and takes away. That's true. He takes away our sin and he gives us the Holy Spirit and eternal life. And it says this scripture in verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, on him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, on him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes." Why would we be ashamed of God? Because if you're living in the world and you're living for the world, you want the world's approval. And if you want the world's approval, you cannot associate with Jesus. As it says in John, I think it's 17. Oh, no, it's 15. Where the world's going to hate us because we join with Jesus Christ. Because it speaks about its evil deeds. That if you're living for yourself, which is living for the world, you're going to want the world's approval. And you're going to hide the fact that you are with Jesus Christ. But if you're living for him and your heart is devoted and surrender and you're on the altar living for him, you become unashamed of the gospel. You don't shy away from unbelievers because you know in your heart that's what they need. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be embarrassed because of Jesus. You know, you are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. If you hide, what hope is there for the world? You've got to die to the world and let the world be dead to you. And if you do all these things, man, Christ is going to live in your heart. This is what happens, right? It's like this gauge. As this one comes down, this one comes up, right? As you lay your life down, the life of Jesus rises up in you. All of his authority, all of his power and his love and his spirit rises up in you. As you go down, he comes up. That's why we've got to humble ourselves that he may be exalted. If we lay down our lives, guys, if we deny ourselves and we associate with the cross and we follow Jesus, the Spirit starts moving in our communities. He says, I will heal the land. And I have seen this in my own life. Times when I get serious about God and I'm not living for me, I'm living for him, other people around me get touched by God. And if I'm being truthful, that scares me. And it makes me back down because it is scary. Not in a scary, frightening way. It's serious business when God's working through you. You know, when you're praying for someone and their heart's been touched and it's freaky. It's the Spirit's moving. It's like, what is happening? It's freaky. You know, I back down from that kind of stuff. I get scared, man. It says cast out demons, man. That stuff is frightening to me. Going against darkness. But I need to do this. People need it. People need us to do this stuff. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Everyone outside of Christ is inwardly groaning for the word of God. They need you to be unashamed. All right. There's one more scripture here. I don't have anything to say about it, but I want to share it. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. I think he's talking about people who deny themselves. That if you deny yourself, you will see the kingdom of God. You will see it. And it will be awesome. Okay, I want to share a story. I want to close with a story. This happened a few years ago. I'm terrible with dates. But I was in a time when I was diligently seeking God. And I was coming across these scriptures, and through the Holy Spirit, the Lord was putting it strongly on my heart to lay down my life. And for the first time ever, I realized what he was saying to me. He was saying, get rid of your life and live for me and be devoted to me and chase after me. I understood it and I got it. And I was responding to that invitation. And I was listening to worship music and I was going to a church service. And I was saying, yes, this thing, this life, myself, me, this very precious thing to me, I lay down before you and I give you myself. That was the position of my heart. And it was like, it was hard. If I'm being real, I was crying. So I didn't want to give up my life. But I saw how good Jesus was. I saw that he was worthy and I wanted him. I desired to have him and I was giving him my life. And I went to this church service. And it was a good church service. And it was during the worship, and they were singing the song King of Kings, which is a very good song. And during the song, I had a vision, and I haven't had many visions. I think this might be one of two. What's a vision like? It's like I was living this video played out right in front of me. That's the best I can describe it. It was a moment with God. And in this vision, I was standing outside of the temple of God in heaven. And I remember seeing these very large doors. And by the way, I don't think any of this is literal. I think it's all just a message. I'm not saying I saw the actual, but this is what I saw. I saw these big doors and I was standing outside. And I kind of stopped and hesitated. But then I remembered that, you know, the scriptures that I, by the blood of Jesus, I can enter in. I'm allowed to go inside of there. And so I walked in with courage and confidence. And I was standing before God's throne. And I knelt down before him. And I had this silver crown. and this silver crown represented my life. It was just this silver. It wasn't polished, but it was precious to me. And I was holding it with a tight grip. And I said, Lord, I give this to you. And I laid it down at his feet. This thing that was so precious. My life, my dreams, my desires, my goals and my ambitions. Everything that is in my heart, I lay down before you. It's a sacrifice. And the reason it's a sacrifice, because it has value. If it has no value to you, it's not a sacrifice. But I laid this down before him as a sacrifice. And I saw this hand reach down and accept this silver crown. And he did something that I totally did not expect. And this is really how I know it was a vision. He took this thing that was so precious to me, and he took it and he threw it aside as if it was nothing. Yeah, junk. Threw it away. And I could hear it in the background bouncing around. I was there in shock. What? But this is the thing that he did, right? He reached behind and he grabbed his golden crown with rubies and jewelries and he placed it on my head. And then that was the end of the vision. And I was listening to King of Kings. And that's what happens. That's the message. That's what I'm trying to talk about tonight, is you giving up this worthless crown. I know it has value to you, but it's worthless in exchange for this golden crown. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to pray now. Yeah, Father, I thank you for this awesome invitation that we have to come and follow you, Lord. I have tasted and seen. I have loved you. You have revealed yourself to me. And it is my heart's desire right now, Father, to lay down my life and follow you all the days of my life, Lord. I want to be with you. I want to see you. I want to hear your voice. And I want to please you. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for those in the room who are with me, Father, desiring to lay down our lives and follow you. Help us, Father, each day to take up the cross and associate with your cross, to be unashamed, Father. And we pray, Lord, that as we follow you, thanking you that you're going to transform us, Lord, that you're going to bring the new life and that we're going to shine. And I pray, Lord, that as we stand unashamed in front of other people, Lord, they may see our good deeds and they may welcome you into their lives, Lord. We praise you for your goodness, Father. We thank you for all the blessings you give us. And I know, Father, at times we want to hold on to our own lives and live for us. It is deception, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, that you would help us to see the truth. We love you and we welcome you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.